Welcome to the Misophonia Podcast. This is Season 7, Episode 25. My name's Adil Ahmad, and I have misophonia. This week I'm talking to Esther, a student in the UK. Esther talks about her journey of healing through prayer and the positive impact it's had on her misophonia. She discusses the challenges she faced in school and how she found relief through noise-canceling headphones and other coping methods. Esther emphasizes the importance of supportive relationships and understanding from her family and friends. She encourages others to explore the connection between faith and healing in their own lives. After the show, let me know what you think. You can reach out by email at hello@misophoniapodcast.com or hit me up on Instagram or Facebook at Misophonia Podcast. By the way, please do head over and leave a quick rating or review wherever you listen to the show. It helps us drive up in the search algorithms, and that helps us reach more listeners. A few of my usual announcements. Thanks for the incredible ongoing support of our Patreon supporters. If you feel like contributing, you can read all about the various levels at patreon.com/misophoniapodcast. And of course, the book Sounds Like Misophonia by Dr. Jane Gregory and I, which is a self-help book on misophonia, is available everywhere by Bloomsbury Publishers. You can find it online or at your favorite bookstore. This episode is also sponsored by my personal journaling app, Basal, B-A-S-A-L. Basal provides AI-powered insights into your journal entries and guides you with new writing prompts every day based on those insights. You can explore many different therapy modalities and approaches. It's available for iOS and Android. Check the show notes or go to hellobasal.com. All right, now here's my conversation with Esther. Esther, welcome to the podcast. Great to have you here.
Thank you.
So do you want to tell us a little bit about kind of where you're located and what you do?
I come from a small village called Burwell in the UK, in England, and I'm studying biology, physics, and photography at college in Cambridge.
Oh, very cool. Okay. And that's quite a variety. Are you getting kind of minors in each, or is one of them kind of more of a extra?
I don't know if you know about like the UK like system, but like that we do like we're doing A levels, so I'm not studying them at like university degree. So we have three A levels, and they're like equally balanced. So yeah.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah, no, I didn't know that at all. Nice. Okay. And so. Gotcha. And yeah, so you're in school at Cambridge, and this is the Cambridge University that everyone kind of like knows about, the world renowned university.
Oh no, I'm not at Cambridge University, but okay.
Well, I'll cut this part out then.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Yeah. Don't worry.
Okay. No worries. Great. Well, So I guess you reached out, and I know there's a couple things you want to talk about, especially in terms of kind of like what's helped you the most, and I'd love to get to that. But maybe you can kind of how's life at where you're going to school right now in terms of misophonia and how you're handling things?
Yeah, so at the start when I was in year 12, that's my first year of A levels. It was very difficult for me because I would have I travel there about for 3 hours. It takes me 3 hours and 20 minutes of traveling a day collectively. And so obviously on the bus there's like a lot of triggers there, so that would not be very fun for me. And you know, my mum tried to help, and she got me some like AirPods, and they were supposed to be noise cancelling, but they didn't really work, so then that was not great. And then she got me some Bose headphones that were really good, so that really helped with the bus and like traveling. But at school, it initially was quite hard, because people would like eat in the study areas, and then they weren't supposed to, but they would do it anyway. But
shocking.
And so then it was very difficult because I would often like sit down. We have like two different study rooms, like a quiet one and a supposedly like noisier one. So I'd go into like one study room, then I try the other, and then I try sitting in the canteen area, and then I just have to try and find a classroom, and it's just annoying because I just want to sit down and do my work. But then it things have gotten a lot better since getting the like noise cancelling headphones. They are super helpful, and also like my misophonia started to get better, so it's not really an issue anymore. So that's good.
Yeah, I'd love to hear more about that in a second. So, well, that's great. Yeah, the headphones that you got, you have from your headphones from your mom. Maybe going back, like, when did things start? When did you start noticing misophonia? Was it in the family environment?
Yeah, so it started, I think it was around the end of April, would have been 2017. And it was just, I remember it was just before we went on holiday to Italy. And it was like mostly my family that were to trigger me. And I just started, it just kind of came on for like no apparent reason. And it was quite hard because I was also a bit of a hypochondriac at that time. And I would always think, oh, mom, like I've got this. And then I would never have it, you know, and I'd just be over like worrying. So like when I told my parents, like, oh, I think I've got misophonia, they didn't like necessarily like believe me at first. So that was quite hard because I had to like put up with the triggers. And it was because they didn't really think I had it, it was hard to get like support.
Gotcha. And so how old were you around that time?
I would have been 11, I think.
And it's typical kind of like typical home sounds, probably meal time or that kind of stuff. Yeah. And how long did it take for them to take it seriously? Because obviously your mom did at some point.
I think it when I was in like maybe it was kind of like a, it wasn't like, oh, they suddenly take it seriously. It was more of a gradual thing. So it was like, I think when they were like, okay, right, like we need to like properly get this sorted out and everything like that. And that was when my school started to know about it as well. When I was in year 8, so I would have been about 13. So there was, I think the first year of having misophonia was like the hardest year because they didn't really like understand, but yeah.
So you were getting triggered at school too?
Yeah, sometimes. It all depends on the environment because I find that if it's just all quiet around and there's someone eating, then I get triggered. But like as I moved into secondary school, we had really noisy lunch halls, and I kind of find when it's like layers of sound, like that will drown out the trigger. So it was just if it was all quiet that I got triggered. So I could eat lunch with my friends, but other than that, it was quite hard.
Yeah. If there was a lot of background noises and things going on, then it's easier to mask it. Yeah. And I guess at home though, how did you deal with it? Did you kind of lash out? Must have been pretty confusing.
I didn't deal with it that well at the start because, it was just like, if I got triggered, I would like scream, I would shout, I would like, I don't know, like, just like if I was holding something that like I remember having a notebook in my hand and I just threw it down in anger one time. And it was just because like it just, I really didn't enjoy it because it just like brought out this like angry person in me that I didn't like. And so that was quite hard, but I got a bit of therapy for misophonia when I was in year 9. I would have been 14 then. And that helped to, it didn't like get rid of the misophonia, but it helped my reactions to be a lot more gently. So instead of like screaming, "Mom, stop swallowing," or like, "Dad, stop slurping," like I would gently tap them and be like, "Oh, Dad, you're triggering me."
So was that the advice that you got from the professional was kind of better ways of communicating?
I actually don't know if it was him or like if I just kind of figured out myself, but he did definitely help me to calm down my reactions so they were more internal instead of external.
Gotcha. Okay. And did you have any other I don't know, you said you were hypochondriac, but I'm curious, did you have any other like overlapping conditions around that time, ADHD or things like that, that many of us do?
Do you mean like
Oh, yeah,
neurodivergent or like more mental
OCDs
health
or,
issues?
yeah, exactly. Yeah, mental
Okay,
health
yeah.
kind of issues.
So yeah,
You don't
I
have to like
had
get into them,
oh
but
yeah,
I'm just
no,
curious.
it's fine, yeah. I did have a bit of like OCD, but like I don't really think it was like linked to that because it was more rumination OCD where like I get it's basically it's like you get unwanted thoughts. And I also like I think I had a bit of depression as well, so having that and misophonia didn't really help. So yeah.
Can be a spiral, worse than a spiral.
Yeah.
Was there, I mean, thinking back to your childhood, I'm just kind of curious, did you, I always ask this because it just kind of comes up so often, is like, were there any kind of like kind of a, I don't know, walking on eggshells kind of environment, or situations where, I don't know, you kind of had to like, I don't want to say traumatic stuff going on, but there's just maybe a, I don't know, adversity that was maybe a little bit out of the ordinary.
No, not
Not
really.
really. Yeah. And then I guess as you got older, so you learned to communicate a bit more. How about, I mean, at sticking with school, like any reaction from your friends? Did you keep it from them? Did you confide in anybody?
Yeah, so I kind of kept it secret until I was about 13, and then oh, like my parents knew, but from with my friends, I think. Well, actually, I did think I did tell one friend in primary school, but in secondary school, like it was really year 13 where I was like, okay, like I have this condition, and my friends would be like understanding and stuff.
Yeah, well, that's great. That's great. Yeah, and I mean, I guess in terms of coping, this sounds like you alluded to how it's gotten better. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Like, what have been kind of the things that have that you feel have worked the best for you?
Yeah, so yeah, so I kind of had this like healing that like personally like I'm a Christian, so like I believe it came from God because well, we've been praying about it for like several years, and one time I was at this youth conference, Christian youth conference, and I asked the leader to pray for me, and she gave me this image of she told me this image that she had got, which was of someone tugging on Jesus's cloak, which is like a Bible story about this woman who had this condition, like touching Jesus's cloak, and she got healed. And then about 6 months later, I asked for prayer for it again, and someone got the exact same image, and I was like really shocked. I was like, wow, that's definitely like I feel like God's definitely like working in that. And so I mean, initially I didn't get the healing, and I was a bit kind of confused as to like why like God had almost like given me this sign and then not heal me, but then eventually it did come, like and so now I yeah, it's like the only people that I haven't really gotten healing over are like my family and like a couple of other like groups of people, but like you know with like I can remember one time I was in the study room, someone was eating crisps behind me, and it wasn't triggering me, and I went that was amazing. And
Yeah, you can tell when we can tell when if there's a moment when we are expecting to be triggered and it
yeah,
doesn't happen.
and I was doing work experience one time in an office, and there were like people like slurping and stuff, and that would have usually triggered me, but it didn't, and I was like, oh, this is amazing. So yeah.
So you see, you're saying your parents are still triggering you, but you're finding situations since those prayers that now
Yeah.
you're consistently not being triggered.
Yeah.
Are you not being triggered at all, or are you maybe, I don't know, maybe lightly being triggered and then just kind of coming back to normal faster?
I don't think I am being triggered at all, or maybe I don't know. Yeah, I think I don't get triggered at all, but yeah. Yeah, like with the family it is a bit like hard with that, but you know, I'm still sometimes I still like pray to like God to like for full healing, and like I believe that he, if that's his will, he'll do that. Right. So yeah.
And you're trying to think through the mental model. So you're thinking of it as God healing the misophonia. Are you do you also think of it as it kind of somehow maybe also came from God, or is it just kind of like the healing part is the part that you is healing you through prayer?
I mean, well, yeah, I guess it did, like, because like God's like sovereign over everything. Mm-hmm. Like, it might not have. He might have just like allowed it to happen, or like, you know, I can't speak for him, but like, you know, he might, I don't know if he like was like, oh, I'm gonna get like make Esther have a misophonia, or if it was more of like, okay, I'll allow it. I don't know if it was like which one of those it was, but either way, you know, like I think God can use, you know, curses and turn them into like revelations of mm-hmm. his glory, like so he can turn something bad into something like good. And you know, I've been, it's amazing having a healing. It's a really like special experience. So yeah.
And have you been doing it looks like you went to see a professional around, you said around ninth grade for Americans, I believe. But has that continued since then, or was that just kind of just around then?
So we tried one professional, and it kind of worked, but it just helped with the reactions, but it didn't like fully work. So we tried, and that was like for like a year, I think. And it was like over COVID and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it was in when I was about 14 and 15. I went to see another specialist, like therapist, but that didn't work either. So, yeah.
So that's been about it. But since then,
it's
been this kind of like the healing through prayer has kind of worked the best for you. Is it something that you're doing? Well, actually, should I say the counselors or whoever your spiritual advisor, do they know about misophonia? Did you like talk to them about it, and are they kind of like trying to, I don't know, take it to the next level and try to get your parents out of your head too, or is it just something that you're kind of like noticed on your own?
Sorry, I don't. Could you explain the question a bit more? Sorry.
Yeah, to simplify it, it's basically like your spiritual advisors or leaders. Do they know about misophonia specifically, or were they just kind of like giving a prayer and then you noticed that? You won't be triggered.
Oh yeah, I explained to them what like misophonia was, because like not a lot of people have heard about it, so I just like explained what it was briefly, and then yeah.
Gotcha. And do you know anybody else with misophonia?
I know of someone with misophonia. Like I don't know them. Like I do like know them, but I don't like know them like super well. Mm-hmm. But like someone's child at my church has like misophonia, so and then like there are a few other people who they kind of can like sympathize with me, that I don't know if they actually have it, but mm-hmm. they say like some of my teachers are like, when I've told them about it, they're like, oh yeah, I get really annoyed when this happens and stuff like that. So
Well, I'm curious if like that child, person whose child has misophonia, I'm wondering if they I don't know, maybe want to get in on the prayer that you know, that's helped you.
Yeah.
That might be an interesting, little group experiment. Yeah. You can all try.
Yeah.
And so your coping methods, obviously in the situations where you are still getting triggered, like at home, like what do you do? Do you throw on the headphones at home, or, leave the table?
So I eat all my meals upstairs in my room.
Mm-hmm.
So the triggers are avoided, and then if it's just like my mum having a drink or something, I'll like just go upstairs or something like that, but she's very understanding, so
How about your dad and other and siblings?
Yeah, my dad's really understanding too, and so like, yeah, we'll just do the same thing. Like, we'll move to different rooms. Sometimes I think there are like sometimes where I can put up with him eating if there's like some background noise on. Like,
yeah.
We like watching TV in the evening together, so that will like sometimes cover up. But then I think there have been other occasions where that hasn't quite worked, so it's a bit of a hit and miss.
Yeah. What about visual triggers, misokinesia?
Yeah, so I actually developed misokinesia in October of 2019. I remember it quite vividly. We were around like one of my like a relative's house, and for some reason, like, you know when people kind of will like, I don't know, like wiggle their foot and like bounce up and down and like stuff like I don't know how to describe it, but you know, like when they do that, I started thinking, oh, why is this triggering me? And like, it then it just, that was the first like misokinesia trigger. And then it kind of spread out to so when I saw people like sipping a drink, even if I couldn't hear it, that'd still make me feel really uncomfortable. Or if I saw my like sister eating but with no sound, like that would probably still make me feel quite uncomfortable. Yeah.
right. Does your sister understand your misophonia?
Yeah, all of my family are now really like supportive and understanding. Yeah,
that's pretty cool. Okay. And yeah, then I guess what about like teachers? I mean, do you have to get accommodations for misophonia ever? Like, what about, you know, doing exams?
Yeah, so I for some weird reason, I don't know why, I find it easier to deal with if the trigger's in front of me rather than behind me. So I don't know why. But I get to sit at the back of, at exams, and then I also get medical rest breaks. So if someone's triggering me, I can just put my hand up and I can go out for however long I need. I don't know. I might need to ask about headphones as well, but it's becoming like less of a problem now with the healing. So I think I'm fine with it now.
Well, yeah, no, that's very cool. And how long has it been since that you've noticed that it dissipated now after the prayer healing?
Yeah. So it's quite interesting because I have had these kind of like, I guess I could call them like micro healings, where like, I don't know, like.
No, I like that word. Yeah.
Where it's just been like a one-off and it's gone away because like, I remember in year six, I got one of those. There was just this evening where I just sat really close to my sister and my parents were like, why are you moving closer to your sister? She's going to trigger you. But then I was like, no, it's fine. And then it went the next day and I was like, oh, I don't know what that was about. Like, that was just like a fluke or something. And then I don't know how exactly like how long ago it was, but it was like quite recent. Like it would have been last year. Yeah, I think it was last year. One of my neighbors, they were like eating some like pizza and like that would have usually triggered me, but it didn't. So I was like, and I could kind of understand why, cause it's, I don't want to really get into it too much, but it's like this whole thing, like where I find a specific group of people, a lot harder to be triggered by, and so I was like, oh, hang on a second, like that seems like a door to healing. And so like I kind of had this like whole theory that it, because it started out with this specific group of people that I would get triggered by, and I had that theory that it would be like that. And then there were like, when I was in the office, a lot of those kind of people were there. And
so, specific group of people, are you speaking about I don't know, a certain subgroup of society kind of thing, or
yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So it would not trigger you, or would trigger you?
They wouldn't. They would.
Okay.
Like suddenly, it like started to get a bit of healing over with that group first.
Okay.
Where they wouldn't trigger me.
Gotcha.
And so, you know, then my theory was confirmed when I was in that office. And I was these are the people I thought I wouldn't get triggered by, and I'm not getting triggered by. And then it kind of spread out to other people, like people my age and stuff like that. And
was there any relationship between that group of people and then the church that you're at where you start to feel the healing, or was it just kind of a random subset of society?
It's kind of like linked to this thing like that I used to have where it was just like, to put it simply, it would just be people that I would like really look up to. And those, but I'll tell you, like, they basically used to be kind of like older, like women, that would be like good, like role models, I guess. So, And so like having that like positive association with them, kind of helped it.
And then slowly start to expand to other people, except your family.
Except for my family. So I'm still, asking God for that, but we'll see how it goes.
I definitely don't think Mrs. Pony is like an off switch, so it's very much a something that kind of evolves into. So hopefully you get to that there, the rest of society, including your family. And the healing, does that it affects the sound? Is it also like the music kinesia doesn't happen at all for the same groups?
I to be honest, I don't know, because it's mainly my family who do like
the shaking and stuff.
Yeah, so I haven't really been able to test it out, but like, I don't know. I can't say if it would or not. Haven't had the opportunity.
You're right, right. And is do you want to talk a little bit about that? Is there anything specific about the prayer you think that's helping you? Is it something that you're just kind of asking for? Or is it, I don't know, maybe something about the length of it, the way it sounds, or I don't know, the state you have to be in to do it?
So like with the prayer, I think it's like, it's not like a specific way I pray or anything like that, because I think it's like what counts is like your heart posture and like why you're asking for it and stuff like that, rather than how you say it. Because like, if you have this like, I think God like would listen to a prayer more or like a prayer that is that comes from someone who's speaking very poetically, but their heart posture is wrong and they're kind of doing it for the wrong motives, or just doing it in a way to be like, oh, look at me, how good I'm praying. You know, I think God like would kind of hear the person's prayer who is maybe stutters sometimes, but their heart posture is right and they're like asking with the right motives, and they're like, so I think it's not about how you pray, it's like why you pray.
As long as it's genuine. And is this something I forgot to ask, so you said your church leader did it at first. Are you doing this kind of regularly, asking for the same relief from misophonia, or is it something that you did once, or but you do rarely or something, and then it kind of lasts for a while? I'm just curious if you're constantly having to kind of or if it's part of your daily practice maybe.
So I asked for prayer twice and they like got the exact same image. My reaction was so funny, my jaw was just dropped. I was like looking at my youth leader like, what, this is crazy. I only asked for it twice, but I'm like, yeah, I guess like, it would be good to ask for it again, because that might be what completes the healing. I don't know, but I guess it would always be good to try rather than not to try.
Yeah, Well, yeah, I'm curious because I do remember, yeah, the first time it didn't work, and then the second time it did. I was curious if you've kind of like accelerated a little bit, or you're just kind of like counting your blessings, no pun intended, and just kind of seeing what happens.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Are there any I don't know, any other I was going to ask if there's any other kind of condition. Have you tried? I mean, well, let's say, have you tried this kind of for like your OCD as well? I'm just kind of curious if you've done a similar kind of prayer for other conditions.
So it wasn't like, I know there were people. Yeah. So I think it's always kind of like a bit of a mixture, like, because I think it's for like my OCD, for example. I know when I went through, because I went through a bit of a mental health crisis, like. When I was doing, when I was in, it would have been like 15. And with that was to do with my like rumination OCD. And I know there were people, lots of people praying for me. So I think it was like a mixture of that. And also like a bit of that, a bit of the techniques I learned from like my therapist, and a bit of just me using, because I used to use kind of like Bible verses to like, encourage me, or just to try and like stop the intrusive thoughts and stuff like that. So I think it's always a bit of a mixture with that one, but I think prayer was definitely still had a part in it.
Gotcha. And have your has anyone in your church has anyone in your church kind of commented on misophonia? I'm just kind of curious if they have, I don't know, other things they want to that they've thought about misophonia, whether it's kind of the source of it or the manifestation of it.
Except from
they got other things to worry about. Yeah, I'm kind of curious. Kind of like, so you're in school now. You know, you're obviously you've got, you know, you're able to kind of like get your, you know, medical breaks during holidays and whatnot, or during exams and whatnot. Have you thought about what you want to do for work later in life? And kind of how you see the misophonia in that context.
Yeah, so I'd like to do be an occupational therapist. It took me ages to like whittle down what I wanted. All these like I had 80 careers, different career ideas, and I had to choose one. So occupational therapy. And again, I think because it's mostly been healed, I don't think it will like really affect me too much. I hope it doesn't affect me or anything like that. So yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot of occupational therapists that know a lot about misophonia, and that'd be super interesting if you can kind of help other misophones in some way.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah.
Your sister does. I'm saying that. I'm guessing does not have misophonia at all, right? And
no.
Is supportive. Was there ever a time where she was kind of like, I don't know, teasing her sister?
No, she didn't tease me. She just, because like it is like you've got to see like the other side too, because it does like it's not just like the person with misophonia that affects it, like affects other family members as well, like, because sometimes she feels like she was, I guess, being a bit controlled by saying like, oh, Katie, like you know you can't, it's going to trigger me eating crackers or whatever, and she felt like, oh, why can't I just like eat in my own like household and stuff like which is like completely valid, like so it is a bit hard finding that balance between like having respect for the person with misophonia but also the person who's having to deal with the person having misophonia as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it sounds like everyone's supportive, but I'm curious if it's ever kind of like caused any rifts or wedges. It seems like your family's done quite a good job, I guess, in you know, being pretty supportive about it.
Yeah.
How about in I don't know, so your friends are pretty supportive, any kind of I don't know, relationships, has it come up or not been an issue? Or
no, it's not. They're all like lovely. So it's like I've just it was just basically at the start, really, like the very start of misophonia, where people weren't so supportive, but that it was just because it was like a new thing and they didn't understand how much it affected me, so yeah, other than that, I haven't really come across anyone that's like not being supportive.
Right. Yeah, I guess I don't know. Any other things you want to share about your experience with misophonia, or I don't know, any learnings? I'm sure you've thought about, like, you know, why. Well, you said you've thought about, like, you know, how this prayer kind of like affected you so deeply. I mean, it's pretty it's a pretty amazing thing to happen, because so many of us you know, are searching for anything. We've tried so many things and spent a lot of money. Yeah, anything else you want to share about kind of like this kind of journey that you're on? It seems to be still going in a positive direction, and I hope it continues.
No, not really. I don't know really what else to say. I've kind of said what there is, but yeah.
Yeah, no, that's yeah, like I said, I'd love to kind of like keep in touch on that. And I know that there are other good people who are following on Instagram who also you know, are, you know, Christians or some other faith, and are you know talking about misophonia in terms of their faith as well. So I'm hoping you know, people listen and can kind of like get some insights, and maybe I don't know, maybe, you know, reach out to you or vice
yeah,
versa.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know if you're following the podcast on Instagram, but yeah, maybe we
I think can I am, like,
start to connect people that way. Well, Esther, I mean, yeah, super interesting to talk to you. I'm glad you came on. It's good to have this perspective.
Yeah, thank you. It's been, I've really enjoyed my time here talking, and yeah, it's a brilliant podcast.
Thank you again, Esther. Really want to keep in touch and see how your journey of a relief from misophonia continues. If you like this episode, don't forget to leave a quick review or just hit the 5 stars wherever you listen to this podcast. You can hit me up by email at hello@misophoniapodcast.com or go to the website misophoniapodcast.com. It's even easier just to leave a message on Instagram at misophoniapodcast. You can follow there or Facebook. And on Twitter or X, it's Misophonia Show. Support the show by visiting the Patreon at patreon.com/misophoniapodcast. The music, as always, is by Moby. And until next week, wishing you peace and quiet.